"Let's put ourselves in his place," said Antony, puffing slowly at his pipe. "He's got the body, or whatever it is, in the passage. He won't come up the stairs carrying it in his arms, and look in at our doors to see if we're awake. He'll have to make sure about us first, and then go down for the body afterwards. So that gives us a little time."
"Yes," said Bill doubtfully. "We might just do it, but it'll be a bit of a rush."
"But wait. When he's gone down to the passage and got the body, what will he do next?"
"Come out again?" said Bill helpfully.
"Yes, but which end?" Bill sat up with a start.
"By Jove! You mean that he will go out at the far end, by the bowling green?"
"Don't you think so? Just imagine him walking across the lawn in full view of the house, at midnight, with a body in his arms. Think of the awful feeling he would have in the back of his neck, wondering if anybody, any restless sleeper, had chosen just that moment to wander to the window and look out into the night. There's still plenty of moonlight, Bill. Is he going to walk across the park in the moonlight, with all those windows staring at him? Not if he can help it. But he can get out by the bowling green, and then come to the pond without ever being in sight of the house at all."
"You're right. And that will just about give us time. Good. Now what's the next thing?"
"The next thing is to mark the exact place in the pond where he drops whatever he drops."
"So that we can fish it out again?"
"If we can see what it is, we shan't want to. The police can have a go at it tomorrow. But if it's something we can't identify from a distance, then we must try and get it out, to see whether it's worth telling the police about."
"Yes," said Bill, wrinkling his forehead. "Of course, the trouble with water is that one bit of it looks pretty much like the next bit. I don't know if that had occurred to you."
"It had," smiled Antony. "Let's come and have a look at it."